Okay, Chizkuni and Parsha Shemos. Each year will be a summary of the Chizkunis on the Parsha. Not everyone, just the what appears to me the highlights to the biggest Kiddushim. Okay, so the beginning of the Parsha starts off listing the names of the Bnei Yisrael that came down to Mitzrayim, except it doesn't say that came down. It says Habaim. Elish Mos Bnei Yisrael Habaim that are coming to Mitzrayim. What does that mean? They came already. So the Chizkuni says, based on a Medrash, that once Yosef died, so the cruelty that the Mitzrim showed them made them feel as if they had just come. And it's really, again, based on Medrash, you get the impression that it's almost like us living here in America. If, you know, you've been living here for years, and like there was in Germany, they had their neighbors, they were friends with their neighbors, and then one day they flip on them. And it's as if they just came that day and they didn't recognize them. So they felt that they were coming to Mitzrayim because once Yosef died, it was as if they had just come and they had never seen them before. That's the way they acted towards them. Okay. Then it says, issue based that each came with their families, because the Chizkuni says, Yaakov knew what a terrible place Mitzrayim was and how low they were in terms of snus, and therefore Yaakov didn't want anybody to learn from them, so he wanted everybody married off before they came down to Mitzrayim. So that's, they came Isha Beso, that was Yaakov protecting the Jews from when they came down to Mitzrayim. They shouldn't be affected by the Mitzri culture. Once they're all married off, they're less likely to be affected by it. So it says in Pasuk Tes, Vayomer Elamo. So Paro was trying to convince them to throw the Jews in the river. So the Gemara in Sota, the whole beginning of Parshas Shmos is at the beginning of the Gemara in Sota, and Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, it goes through all a lot of the psukim here, and there's a very long agadata there about the beginning of our Parsha, but it says that there were Shlosha Hayu Be'etz Etchila. The Pasuk just records that Paro was trying to convince his cabinet over there to throw the Jews in the river. But the Gemara says there were three Beitz Etchila, and one of them is Bilam. It says Bilam, Yisro, and Paro. I'm sorry, Bilam, Yisro, and Eov were talking to Paro. So the three were Bosa Eitza. And Bilam was killed because he gave Paro the Eitza, the bad Eitza. Eov was quiet, so he got Yisurin, and Yisro ran away. So he had good things happen to him. The problem is that there's a steer to this from a Gemara in Sanhedrin on Kovav. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that Bilam, when he was killed, was 33. Well, that math don't add up. If Bilam was 33 when he was killed after the Jews left Mitzrayim, way after, it can't be that he was alive when Paro was trying to throw the Jews into the river. I mean, Moshe wasn't even born yet. So that's way more than 33 years. So Rashi over there in Sanhedrin in Kufav actually says it is impossible, and these Agadatas are not agreeing with each other. The Gemara in Sotan Daf Yud Aleph and the Gemara in Sanhedrin don't agree. But the Chizkuni doesn't say that. He said they do agree. But how do you put them together? So he said there are two Bilams. I like that. Two Bilams. This is his grandpappy. There was Bilam and his grandson Bilam. So the Bilam number one, that was Bosa Eitza, that Bilam died. And then Bilam number two, which is from the Benos Moav and the cursing the Jews, that was Bilam number two, the grandson. That's one answer. The other answer he gives is that the Gemara in Sota says three were Bosa Eitza, means the Osa Eitza to get the Bnei Yisrael to sin with Benos Moav. The only thing is that's a little hard to understand how that fits with Yisro being there. Why would Yisro have been there? But anyway, that's what he suggests. So Paro puts on top of them these slave drivers. And it says, Lama'an anoso besiblo sam. So the Chizkuni says that refers specifically to try to get them to not have tashmish, as the word anoso can sometimes mean. Like, Lavan said him ta'anes benosai. So that's what he says it's referring to. He was trying to get them to not have kids, amongst other things besides enslaving them. He wanted them to not have kids. And it didn't work, as we know. It was the opposite. They had tons of kids. So he came up with a new Eitzah to try to kill the babies. And he appointed as his accomplices Shifra and Pua. which were the Shtei Meyoldos, the two midwives of the whole Jewish people. So that can't be, the Chizkuni says. He's not the only one, but the Chizkuni says it can't be. There are only two of them. Can't be for that population. All they needed was two midwives. It would be a little undoable, especially at the rate they were giving birth. So he says that the Shifra and Pur, Yochevan and Miriam, they were just, they were the ones in charge. They were the bosses. They were the head midwives. They weren't the only midwives. Anyway, so he told them to kill the boys and not the girls. Now the Pashup shot is in that, because like you said, he was afraid that the Jews would become so big they would kick, they would go to war on the Mitzrim. So who goes to war? Not girls. Certainly not in those days. It was the boys. That's why you'd have to kill the boys. So that's why Pyro said just kill the boys. But we'll get back to that in a second. And then it says that Pyro made for them batim, for the midwives. So what were these batim? So Chizkuni has a very interesting pshat here. He told the midwives to kill the boys. They didn't. And he takes them to task for it. And then he made them batim. As in, not Hashem made them batim, like you know, the Pasuk may read and Rashi sounds like, right? As Rashi says. But rather, it's Paro made for them batim. Meaning, batim so he could make sure they don't leave. So he took the Mialdos, and he made them batim that the Mialdos couldn't move from. And all Jewish women who wanted to give birth would have had to go to them. I guess if you go with the other Chizkuni, that they were just in charge, to their hospital. So that everybody would have to use them, and you would think so Paro could keep an eye on them that they're doing the right thing, or to make sure that none of the women went to other midwives to make sure that they actually get killed. And we know, of course, that didn't work either. Another possibility, he may mean that the Mitzrim would be there in the hospital throwing the babies in the river. Anyway, why the river? So we all know from Rashi that the Paro's astrologers saw that the leader of the Jewish people, the one who would save them, would be hurt by water, so that's why they said to throw him in the water. So the Chizkuni here has a little bit of a different story, that the astrologers of Paro saw that all of the men of their nation would be destroyed by water. And their thought was, let's make it the Jews. So let's throw all the males of the Jews in the water, so it'll be that the Jewish males were destroyed by water. But of course, that's not what was happening. What they were seeing in their astrology was that all of the Mitzri men would be destroyed by water, because they would all drown in the Yamsuf, the warriors, the soldiers that were chasing after the Jews. So the Mitzrayim would be destroyed by their own boys being lost at sea. But they wanted to put it on the Jews. That's why they were saying, throw all the boys in the water. Okay. So Moshe is born, and it says that they saw that he was Tov. More specifically, Vatero, so Ki Tov, who? So the Chizkuni says, this is the minig, why we say, at a bris mila, Hoda Lashem Ki Tov Ki Liolam Chasto, because Chazal tell us, Ki Tov means he was born with he already had a bris mila. Nolad Mahol is born with his Mila gone already. It was born pre-Bris Milad. So that's what Ki Tov means. So therefore, as a remiss to that, we say at every Bris, Hodu Lashem Ki Tov, Ki Liolam Chasto, as a remiss to that. Moshe was Nolad Mahol. Okay, then Tzipora tries to hide him for 3 months, which is interesting. That means they were still going after the Jewish people, even though they knew the day that the leader of the Jewish people had been born, and it had been already. They were still going after him, so she couldn't hide him. And she puts him in this basket of guma, or goma. So goma is exactly the kind of thing that is in the Yamsuf. That's exactly what's there, reeds, in the Nile, rather. So the point was he was supposed to be camouflaged in there. That this basket that she put him in, that Yocheved put Moshe in, was supposed to look like the bulrushes that were there in the river. So that was the purpose of that. And then it says Bas Paro came to wash in the river, and she sees it, and her naros who are with her don't see it. So the Naros Ra'al Yad Hayor don't see it, she sees it. Why is that? So Cheskuni says something interesting, because she was only able to camouflage it on one side, like the side. If you're walking facing the river, it would be camouflaged well and look like just a bunch of whatever, reeds or whatever it is. But when you're in the river, like the other side of the basket was not camouflaged. So that's why Bas Paro, who was in the river, she recognized the basket. That's why she saw it, and they didn't. Then it says she opens it up, Fatir Ehu, Vihine Na'ar Boche. So who's this Na'ar who's crying? Now, a little baby, you don't usually call a Na'ar. So we know the Gemara talks about this. Rashi says that Moshe's voice was like a Na'ar. We know the Gemara asks, what are you saying, that Moshe had a bad voice? Anyway, but who's this Na'ar Boche? So the Cheskuni says the Na'ar is Aaron. And that's how she figured out that it was Jewish. Because she opens up the basket, she sees a little baby crying, and then there's this Jewish boy who happens to be Aaron, who I guess saw that his brother had just been discovered, so he starts crying. That's the Na'ar Boche. And then, therefore, Bas Paro has mercy on this little baby, and she says, this must be a Jewish kid, I have to bring him to a Jewish nurse. And of course, she can't bring him to a Mitzri nurse, because a Mitzri nurse won't nurse a Jewish kid. So she has to bring it to a Jewish nurse. And she calls him Moshe. So Chazal do tell us, like the Cheskuni brings, it is the Gemara that Bas Paro converted. What exactly conversion means, Kodem Matan Torah, is a good question, exactly what that refers to. But whatever it is, whatever you could convert in those days, she did. So if she converted, so possibly she knew Hebrew, and that's why she called themselves her. That's why she called him Moshe Kimin Hamayim Mishisiu, because she learned Hebrew. That's what the Cheskuni suggests. Then he says, even if she didn't know Hebrew, the pshat in the pasuk may be that the mother Yocheved had called him Moshe, and she said, "Why'd you call him?" And she asked the mother, "Oh, you called him Moshe because I draw him." So she said, "Oh, well, that's perfect, because I drew him from the water." So in that way, that's what it would mean. Meaning, Yocheved, Vatikr Shmo Moshe, that was Yocheved, Vatomer Basparo, Kimin Hamayim Mishisiyo. I know why you called him Moshe. It's not like being Dorish the same, explaining why his name, Hashem had it, that Yocheved decided to name him Moshe. I know why, Kimin Hamayim Mishisiyo, because I drew him from the water. And by the way, his name is not Moshui, drawn, it's Moshe, draws, because he would draw the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. Okay, then we know that Moshe kills the Mitzri, and he escapes Egypt and runs away. And to Midian, he marries Tzipora. And incidentally, he says the word Tzipora comes from the word. Her name was named from Tzafra, not from the bird, but Tzafra, which means mourning, which is a way of saying beautiful. But anyway, so they have a kid, two kids, Gershom and Eliezer. So Gershom, he named Kiger Hayisi Be'eretz Nachriya, and Eliezer, he named Kilokeav Vi Ba'ezri Vayatzileni Mecherev Paro. So the Cheskuni said, why didn't he call his firstborn son? You know, he had managed to escape to Midian. Hashem had saved him. Wouldn't that have been what you call your firstborn son? Eliezer Kilokeav Vi Ba'ezri Vayatzileni Mecherev Paro. Why didn't he call? And that's what he should have called his firstborn son, says the Cheskuni. But he didn't. Why not? So the reason is, as you see, the pasuk, it's in Perek Beis, pasuk Chaf Beis, where he called his son Gershom. And the next pasuk is, Vayivara Yamim Rabim Hem, Vayamas Melch Mitzrayim. So that means in the pasuk before, Paro was still alive. That Paro that had tried to kill Moshe, he was still alive. So therefore, Moshe didn't want to call his son Eliezer, that Hashem saved him, because it's like spiking the football on the 50-yard line. He wasn't sure he was going to stay saved. He was temporarily safe. But who knows what's going to be. So he didn't want to call his son Eliezer, that Hashem had saved him, because he was still in danger. So he called his son Gershom. And then when he was later on, when Hashem told him that those who want to kill you have died, which the Cheskuni say were the relatives of the Mitzri he killed, plus, according to this, Paro, and then he was able to name his kid Eliezer. So as we said, the next pasuk is Vayivay Yamim Harabim Mahim. What was so these great days? So as Kuni said, you know, some of the Jews thought that the 400 years started from Bispring of Masarim. And since that time had passed, So then everything seemed like it was taking too long because they thought that they were supposed to be out of there already and the 400-year passed. So then everything seemed like it was taking forever. But it's really from the time of when Yitzchak was born. Then Moshe meets Hashem at the Sneh, and Hashem tells him to go to Mitzrayim, and he says, Hashem says, Anochi Elokei Avicha. So the Chizkuni says, you know, Moshe was so nervous to go because he didn't, or hesitant to go, because he thought Aaron should go instead of him. Why didn't he think Amram, his father, should go instead of him? I was only concerned about his brother. So the reason is Amram was dead. But the Chizkuni says, this is where Hashem told him. He said, Anochi Elokei Avicha, and we know Hashem doesn't call people Elokei whatever, like you won't say Elokei Yitzchak or Elokei Avram until they're dead. So by saying Elokei Avicha, because otherwise who knows that they're, you know, how firm they'll stay, or how holy they'll stay. Anyway, so once he was dead, Hashem said, I'm talking to you, I am Hashem Elokei Avicha, that meant his father was dead. So this way, Hashem was telling him that, so he wouldn't refuse to go on the mission, because his father, he would want his father to go. But he still, of course, wanted his brother to go. Anyway, okay. So Hashem tells Moshe what he should tell Paro, and that everybody should ask. And here he says, by the way, when they were, the Jews were supposed to leave and be shoel from the mitzvah, it means to ask as a gift, as sometimes we say, shalmi mani ba'atena. And he was supposed to do these three mofsim, and Moshe doesn't want to do them, rather doesn't want to go, because he says he's kvad peh. Now, what does that mean? So all we know, most of us, is the Rashi, that it means that he, when he was a little baby, he put a coal in his mouth, and so he had a lisp. So that's one pshat. What does the words literally mean? He's had a heavy mouth. So the Chizkuni says that, what, this is fascinating. The Chizkuni said, Moshe was saying that I don't speak Mitzri very well. I grew up in Mitzrayim, but I left Mitzrayim a bazillion years ago when I was a kid. I don't remember, I don't speak Mitzri so well. Aaron speaks Mitzri just fine. Why, you know, let Aaron go. Aaron's not a kvad peh. I'm a kvad peh. What does that mean? Because I, you know, when someone barely speaks the language, they have a heavy mouth. Heavy mouth means they speak very slowly because they got, I mean, it's a fascinating pshat. It's hard to imagine Moshe forgot, you know. Moshe was very smart. Hard to imagine he forgot. But anyway, that's a Chizkuni's prat that he was saying to Hashem, I'm not good at Mitzri. That's why I'm a kvad peh. I've got like a heavy mouth. It won't come out good. But Aaron still lives in Mitzrayim. He can speak Egyptian just fine. Anyway, as we know, Hashem says, okay, no, you go, Moshe. Fine. And Moshe is supposed to tell Paro, B'ni Bechori Yisrael, that let out my nation, B'ni Bechori Yisrael. What's the Indian of Bechor? So the Chizkuni says, because who did the Bechora before the Chet Egel? Who did the Avoda before Chet Egel? The Bechors, right? Who does the Avoda? So Hashem is saying, send out my nation to serve me in the desert, to do my Avoda, because they are B'ni Bechori, and it's the Bechors who do the Avoda. So since the Jewish people are the Bechors, that's why Hashem was asking them to be sent out to offer Karbanos in the Midbar. And it's the Bechor, because he says, because Yaakov bought the Bechorim from Esav, and therefore it's Yaakov. So that's B'ni Bechori Yisrael. Yisrael then would mean Yaakov. B'ni Bechori Yisrael. Okay, so Moshe's supposed to go, and then he has that incident with being swallowed up by a malach, or whatever, and Tzipora, because he didn't do the bris milah on his son Eliezer, that had been born then. So the pasuk says that Tzipora chopped off the milah and threw it in front of the malach, and she says, she throws it, and it says, Vatagel Raglov, unclear whose Raglov that is, but Vatagel Raglov, and she says, Ki chasan damim atali. And then, Vayirif Mimeno, then the Malach lets go of Moshe, and Az Amra, and then she says, Chasan Damim Lamulos, which is Mila. So, the Chizkuni says, she wasn't really sure what the issue was. Is it that her son didn't have a bris Mila, or that Moshe was going to be killed because he was married to her, because she was a Midianist, and Moshe shouldn't have married her. So, she wasn't sure what it was. So she took off the bris milah and threw it at the malach. So she figures, if that helps, then I'll know what the issue is. So she said, originally, chasan damim atali, you're chasan damim because you married me, And then when the Malach let go of her because she did the Bris Milah, then she said, Oz Amra, then she said, Chasan Damim Lamulos. Now I know, oh, the issue was the Bris Milah. Okay, so Moshe says, comes to Paro and says, let out the Jewish people. Pen Yifkaenu Badever. Obecharav. So Hashem says, I'm sorry, Moshe says to Paro, let us go out 3 days in the Midbar, we'll nizbuchalav Hashem lakino, pen yifkeinu badever or becherev, lest we get dever or cherev, meaning Hashem said to us to go, and if we don't go, maybe dever will happen. To who? Pen yifkeinu, so one pshat the Chizkuni says means maybe we'll get killed, and therefore Paro, is not worth it to you to keep us here, because we're all going to die, and then you'll definitely be out your money, so let us go. Or pen yifkeinu meant all of us. If you don't listen to God, then you, Mitzrim, all of us, will all be destroyed. Anyway, as we know, Paro didn't accept it and sent Moshe home and said, L'chula Sivlo Sechem, and as Rashi brings, because Shevet Levi was not in the Shibud. How did Shevet Levi get out of it? So the Chizkuni brings, because when Paro came down, and remember they started with a Parach, he tried to convince everyone to join up to work. And Paro himself started working, and then all the Jews joined, and then all the Goyim left, including Paro, and they made the Jews stay working there. But so had Levi not get part of that? Because Levi said, we're going to carry the Aron eventually. We're not signing up for this. That's how Levi ended up not ever doing the Avoda in Mitzrayim. So Paro says to him, go back to L'chulis of L'seichem. And he makes it harder for the Jews, and they have to make their own, get their own tevin, they have to make their own bricks. So it says, Vayafetz am b'chalatz Mitzrayim. And this is also fascinating. The Jewish people were sent all over Mitzrayim to go get tevin, straw. So the Chizkuni says, this was all b'atzas Hashem. And there was a purpose for this. It wasn't just to cause Jews more pain. It's because the Mitzrayim could have said, the average Mitzri could say, how come I had to suffer through the 10 makos? I didn't do anything. I didn't have any stock in the brick pits in Pitom and Ramses. Like, it's not my fault. How come I'm being punished with Dam Svardei, Kinim Varov, and all the rest of it? I'm not in charge. Paro did it. You know, it's not me. I didn't do anything. So the Paro sent the Jews all over Egypt, because they were going all over the place to try to get Kash Latevin. And wherever they went, the Mitzrayim mistreated them. They beat them. They mistreated them. So none of them would be able to say, we were innocent. They all mistreated the Jews. That was the purpose of sending them all over Mitzrayim. The parasha ends off that Moshe asks Hashem why things got worse for the Jews. Now the Chizkuni points out, of course, Hashem had told Moshe that Paro wouldn't listen, but Moshe thought it would at least get a little bit better. And so Hashem says, well, yes, now it's going to get better. Ata tira, like now you're going to see, now it's going to get better, because once the makos started, then the Sheba did stop. But that was the back and forth, and that's the end of the parasha.